glorify you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I've got quite a few scriptures tonight to go through, so let me go right in. John chapter 14, beginning at verse number 1, is where we'll begin. Praise the Lord. John chapter 14, beginning to read there at verse number 1. Thank you, musicians. Amen. Men, I look forward to seeing you at men's conference. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm very much anticipating just something powerful. There is something going to be spectacular happen at men's conference. You have this feeling, you know, at least I do. I look forward to that time set apart to hear from God. Amen. It is my opinion. In fact, it is my long-standing recognition that men are a key in the body of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. They really are. Amen. It's just not healthy to have a church with few men. I believe men belong in the house of God. That's where I belong. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look forward to that. John chapter 14, beginning to read at verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Would you believe we sang about heaven today? Amen. Amen. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? My topic today is man's final destination. Amen. Hope you got your seatbelt nearby. But the Word of God is powerful. Amen. Man's final destination. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. Lord, we're asking together even right now, Lord, that your word, Lord, would touch our minds. Open, Lord, I pray, our understanding. Lord, I ask that the Holy Ghost, Lord, would direct my words, direct my thoughts, and open our hearing. And Lord, even as we talk about man's final destination, Lord, I pray your will be done here today. Help us, Lord. Help me to deliver the message and help us, Lord, to receive it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. I thought that was cool. We were singing about heaven. Well, my message is about heaven. Man's final destination. I hope you know where you're headed. because there is a final destination.
Yes.
Amen. For me, heaven is my goal.
That's right.
Amen. I want to get there.
Yes.
Of all other things, you know, I'd like to go places. I'd like to see things, but heaven is the goal. Amen. First, let me use some more scripture here. Mark chapter 9, beginning there to read at verse number 42. Let me continue reading. Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse 42. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believeth in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. And if thine hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, unto the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life, than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Said it more than once. Yes, I am going to talk primarily, mostly, about 3/4 or more of my notes today deal with heaven. But the subject of hell is in the Bible. Psalm chapter 9, verse number 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Seems like much of our world has forgotten God, or doesn't think very much about God, or are not very concerned with God. Or they think it's a nice subject for some, and for others it's not important. Well, God is important. And there really is a hell, and there really is a heaven. During the ministry, the lifetime of Jesus, he dwelt unmistakably with the reality of heaven and hell. They are literal, real places. Not make-believe, not some theology. They're real. He gave solemn warnings of being cast into hell while speaking words of comfort to his followers of the reality of heaven. See, a journey of 1,000 miles, if you got a long way to go, it starts with just one step. Each step that an individual takes him, or each step that an individual takes, moves him nearer to his eternal goal. Every journey has a predetermined destination, except man's journey through life. Man is a free moral agent, independent and able to choose his own destiny. It's man's choice where he goes. Where is man's final destination? It's our own choice where we're going to go. Now, in my notes, I talk briefly here about hell. Hell is not my primary subject. Primarily, I don't like to talk about hell. But I felt convicted on it because I don't talk enough about it. And really, we should consider that hell is real. I have co-workers, multiple, several that I work very closely with that have died. One of my former co-workers died. His funeral was last Saturday, less than 1 week ago. The son of my good friend, friends of my family's in Bristol, died yesterday. People die. Family members die. Friends die. Death is final. But eternity is forever. Too many, the subject or the word hell is nothing more than a slang word. They use it when they're mad or angry or for emphasis. For every one time the Bible mentions heaven, it speaks of hell 10 times. Hell is mentioned many more times than heaven is. Many will go to this place of torment from this life. But originally, it was not intended to be so. Matthew 25, verse 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. That's why hell was created. For the fallen angels. Scriptures confirm two basic facts about hell. One, it is a place of torment. And two, it has no ending. Hell is for eternity. In Luke chapter 16, there is the story. It is the account of Lazarus and the rich man. I've heard people say, oh, I know what that person would have wanted. After a person is gone, you don't know what that person would want. In fact, the Bible is the authority. It is the place that we can trust in that gives an account of people who have died and what they wanted after death. Don't trust what people think. Because people are often wrong. But the Bible is always right. Always. Without fail. The Bible is right. Luke chapter 16, verse 23. I almost wanted to read the whole account, the whole story, but I'm going to trim it down to one verse because I got a long way to go. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. One was in torments, and one was in glory. Again, I didn't take out the whole scriptures to read them, but it talks of the damnation of hell in Matthew 23:23. Everlasting punishment, Matthew 25:46. Furnace of fire, Matthew 13:42. Sorrows of hell, Psalm 18:5. I'm purposely, lightly brushing the subject of hell. To go into a depth of study on this subject would be terrifying. Yeah. It would be scary beyond belief. I don't know that my mind would truly comprehend the terribleness of hell. Who is in hell? Psalm chapter 9, verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Do not forget God. Remember who God is. Always remember who God is. By the way, His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. The angels that sinned, that were cast out, were cast down into hell and delivered unto chains of darkness. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. And if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Oh, well, God wouldn't send good people to hell. Well, whose definition of good? God is the judge. Do what God says, and that's good. Amen. Everlasting torment. The same thing that makes heaven so joyous, so hopeful, that makes hell a place of fear. And that is that both places are everlasting estates. Once you arrive, that's forever. There's no going back. There's no redo. There's no reset. Hell, wicked mankind is not consumed by the flames. You know, there's some people that think, well, hell, you're just disintegrated into nothing and gone. Annihilated. That's not what the Bible says. It says that they are eternally tormented. The fires of hell will not go out. The fire shall never be quenched. Mark chapter 9, verse 43. That was our opening scripture. Opening text. Three times in Mark, Jesus quoted Isaiah. The worm dies not, and the fire is not quenched. I read that at the beginning. In Revelation 20, Satan will be cast into the lake of fire and will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Revelation 20, verse number 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. It's a scary subject. Let me draw the line. I'm done talking about hell. But there's a good place to go. Heaven is scary. I mean, hell is scary, but heaven is wonderful. Heaven. For every moment of anguish that the wicked will suffer in hell, there will be glory enjoyed by the righteous in heaven. Good stuff just keeps going on. Two aspects about heaven. The throne room of God is where God is. And it is the eternal abode of the believers. The saved, the righteous, the redeemed will be there. the throne of God, Psalm 11, verse 4. The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord will be. That's the good part. That's the best part about heaven. Is Jesus will be there. God's position, of course, it is an exalted one. Some people would question, what do you mean? The whole book is about God? Yep, it really is. The heavens and the earth were created by Him and for Him. Everything that is by Him.
Right.
Amen. And yes, He was before the beginning. It's clearly identified in the Bible. It's easy to understand. Just believe the Word.
Amen.
I don't know who these people are, and I don't care if I ever hear their names again. I believe the Word. The Bible.
Amen.
Amen. Sorry. Wasn't a dig on you, Brother Dyke. Isaiah chapter 66 and verse number 1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build for me? And where is the place of my rest? We seem so small, and God is so great. Amen. Heaven will be the abode of the believers. Jesus comforted His disciples with this thought. John chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. God cannot lie. I'm telling you, this is the truth. It's hard to believe. What do you mean? Mansions for everybody? Yes. That is what the Bible says. Praise the Lord. You see, in a vision, John saw the city coming down from God. The new heaven and the new earth. Go to Revelation chapter 21, verse beginning to read there at verse number 1. You know, I often... That's almost comical. Many times in our church, I'll say, read the back of the book, we win. Not very often do I ever read the back of the book. Well, today is the day. Here it is. We're about to show you what I'm talking about. Revelation 21, beginning at verse number 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. And they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. It's going to be a glorious time. You don't want to miss it. Verse number 4. I'm just getting going good now. Whew, I'm getting to the good part here. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. No more tears. And there shall be no more death, No more death.
Hallelujah.
It's what the Word says. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. It's almost unthinkable that there could be a place like this. But there is. There really is. Neither sorrow nor crying, there shall be no more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. It's written for us to know what is going to be. It's not make-believe, maybe or a might. It is absolutely true. This is a real place. Verse number 6. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning, here we go, and the end. Before there was God, after there is God, still God. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the waters of life freely. It's going to be a glorious place. You don't want to miss this opportunity. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Just a few verses later, John describes the new Jerusalem. This place is so spectacular. It almost takes an expanding of your mind to try to comprehend what I'm about to read to you. It's real. Its account is true. It's in the Word. It's the Bible, after all. And I'm reading the back of the book. This is the good part. Verse number 10, Revelation 21, jumping down just a few verses, verse number 10. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall, great and high, and had 12 gates. And at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east, 3 gates. And on the north, 3 gates. And on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And on the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof, and the city lieth 4 square. And the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed 12,000 furlongs. That, my friend, if you do the calculation, is 1,500 miles in one direction, that way. In one direction, that way. In one direction, that way. And it was square. 1,500 miles square. It's pretty big. Can you imagine a city, Groton to Montana, and down to Miami.
Yeah.
And then over to New Mexico.
Yeah.
And then that high also. My mind, I don't know that I can stretch my mind that big. But that's what the Bible says. There is place, room enough in heaven. Every living soul that has ever been born on the face of the earth, from Adam until Jesus comes, every person has a place. There's room for every person. Excuse me, but I said that wrong. There's room for every person that has ever lived in the plan of God. That's amazing to me. It's amazing. Verse 17. And he measured the wall thereof, 140 and 4 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall, it was of jasper. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. My mind doesn't. I've been working on it for a long time, and I still don't quite understand what that means. But I know it's gold, and I know it's clear. That part I understand. Whew. 19. And the foundation of the wall of the city was garnished with all manner of precious stones. It's going to be beautiful. Beyond imagination. No man has ever conceived the beauty and the grandeur and the glory of this place. The first foundation was jasper. The second, a sapphire. The third, a chalcedony. I don't know how to say that word. And a fourth, an emerald. And the fifth, a sardius. And the sixth, sardis. The seventh, a chrysolite. The eighth, a beryl. The ninth, a topaz. The tenth, a chrysophysis. I don't know how to say that word either. And 11th, anyone want to guess that one? What he said. And the 12th, an amethyst. Man, it's going to be beautiful. How about that? It's going to be spectacular. It's going to be beautiful beyond imagination. It's going to be so spectacular. And the gate and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. There won't be a need for a church house. The Lord will bring His glory into this place.
Amen.
And the city had no need. Stretch your imagination right here. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. It is going to be light everywhere in heaven. There is no night there. Woo-hoo. Verse 24, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day. The gates are standing open, for there shall be no night there.
Amen.
It's always daytime. Amen. It's always light. Amen. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Nobody's going to sneak their way in. Oh, I'm just going to sneak my way into the corner of heaven. No, you ain't. No, you're not. Amen. You are going to choose to go to heaven by Jesus Christ, or you ain't going to make it. That's just the honest truth. John chapter 14, verse number 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I'm telling you, Jesus wants to bring you to heaven. God wants you to go to heaven. God has prepared a place already for you in heaven. Every single person, God wants to go to heaven. That's His word. He wants all men to come to repentance, to know Him, to be saved. It was His purpose. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why He came. That we might go to heaven. And even all that Jesus had accomplished, all of His preparations, all of His preparing, all of His way making, the provisions that He did, He sacrificed His own self for sin. He gave Himself a sacrifice for us. And after all of that God did, it's man's choice. Man's choice. You see, God, with the first man, Adam, He gave Adam the opportunity to choose right over wrong. You can eat of all of the trees of the garden except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Just this one, stay away, don't eat of it, is what He said. Don't eat of this tree, but you can have all the others. Can you imagine how many trees and how much fruit and how much of everything there was? More than sufficient. God's ways are always more than sufficient. Adam had a choice. It is an individually determined decision. Will you be lost or will you be saved? It's each person's choice. And no one can blame another for the unsaved condition. It's my choice if I serve God or not. If I mess up and go a wicked way, if I choose not to follow God, that would be my choice. But if I choose to serve the Lord, if I choose to follow Jesus, if I choose to go to heaven, no man can unchoose that for me. It's my choice. I get to choose where I'm going to go. Some men, in fact, frequently, most of the time, I will even say, men forget God. People forget God. Don't even think about Him. Not even an afterthought. And way too often, particularly here in these United States of America, prosperity tends toward forgetfulness. If you have enough, you think you're okay. Just because you got enough does not mean you're okay. The way to avoid forgetting God is to keep Him and His ways continually before you. I want to serve Him today, and I want to serve Him tomorrow. Amen. I want to serve Him next week and next year and all of the days of my life. Amen. It's my high aspiration to be that old guy in the back screaming at the top of my voice, "Preach!" As I shout just as best as I can, "Preach!" I don't know about you, but you think that's funny, but I'm serious. Just bring me all the way to the end and let me worship you all the way. When they're closing the door on my life, let me go out worshiping. Continue. I just never want to end. I want it to go on. I want to worship the Lord. That's my choice. I get to make that choice for me. And you got to choose for you. I can't do it for you, or I would. If I could, you'd be a worshiper. If I could make you do it, but I can't. That's your choice. But I can do it for me. Amen. Some people just refuse to repent. Concerning those who follow the doctrine and the spirit of Jezebel, Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2, verse 21, "And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not." By the word of God, I know that God is always fair. He gives everybody the opportunity to repent. It's not God's fault. Don't blame God. The people of Nineveh, a wicked city, man, they killed the prophets. They had sin everywhere, up and down, all over the place. But that city repented. And God had mercy on that city. Some have selfishness and greed. Many people are unwilling to recognize their great need of salvation. We all have need of salvation. All have come short of the glory of God and are sinners. Everybody needs to repent. Not just some. Everyone. We are to love God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. Jesus cannot be Lord of all unless He is Lord of all. Everything in my life belongs to God. Everything in my life, I thank God for. Amen. Man's greatest enemy is not Satan. Your greatest enemy is your flesh. The flesh is self. And selfish and greedy. Some choose to do nothing. And they think that's okay. Well, I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. That would be the problem. You didn't repent. You didn't serve God. You didn't choose heaven. That, my friend, would be a problem. The vast majority of our human race will be lost because they choose to do nothing about their sin condition. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard it? I'll tell you what, the salvation identified in the Bible, that verse of Scripture right there, it's great stuff. Amen. Well, if I preach it good or not, if I tell you Scripture, it's good preaching. Amen. Because of the Word. Because it's the Bible. Not because of me. A person can hear the Word of God, acknowledge that it is true, and never partake thereof. We must do more than just hear the word. We must repent of our sins. We got to be baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's right there in a single verse of Scripture, right behind me on that sign. A person must then, that's the beginning of our walk in faith, not the end. That's not the accumulation of all that is going to be. No, that's the beginning, how I start my walk being successful in God. How I start living a life dedicated to Jesus. Many will defend the truth. Even fight for it, and yet do nothing to apply it to their own lives. It's amazing to me. James chapter 1, verse number 22. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. See, salvation is based on man's response to the gospel. It's not just the preaching of the word. There has to be a response. There's got to be an obedience to the word. We have to do what the word says. To be saved, we got to do. Salvation is a decision. You get to choose. We choose if we want to be saved. That's our choice. And you're right. If you say, Pastor, I don't have to do that. You're right. You can choose not to do it if you want to. But I would say choosing the Word of God is the best way to go. It's the only sane answer. You would have to be insane to choose to go to hell. That don't make any sense to me. I would have to be out of my mind to choose to walk away from God. That's just not a good choice. Not an option. Thank you very much. It's not on the list of possibilities. It's not on the... There's not even a block for that choice. We just erase that peace off. Don't check that box. We have to avail oneself to God's mercy, His grace, and His love. Get this now. In Ruth chapter 1, verse number 16. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." Ruth was a Moabite. She wasn't born in Jerusalem or in Judea. She wasn't Jewish. She was a Moabite. And yet, she fell in love with God through her mother-in-law. She made herself available. And you know what God did? God brought her into the kingdom, placed her where she ought to be. She made the way for her to meet Boaz. She married into the family. In fact, she became married into the lineage of King David. And then Jesus Christ. She became grafted into the lineage of the Savior. I think of my beautiful wife, a Lutheran, when I met her. Well, not even a very good Lutheran. Easter and Christmas, maybe. But we can be grafted into. Maybe your lineage isn't from this. But I'm telling you, God wants you to go to heaven. Amen. Doesn't matter what your background is. Doesn't matter where you came from. God wants you to go to heaven. Amen. Respect, honor, and fear God. Establishing a right relationship with God. Obey God's word. God's minimum requirements for salvation is obedience. One act of disobedience thrusts sin upon the entirety of the human race in the Garden of Eden. Sin has consequences. God's will for man. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He doesn't want anybody to be lost. God doesn't want anyone to choose to go to hell. It is your choice. He is calling us. He's calling me. He's calling you. He wants each of us, everyone, to come to repentance. Ask God to forgive you. Show me, God, how to serve you. And He will. He'll show you. He'll help you. He'll bring you along the way. Jesus does not want anyone to be lost. the murderer, the rapist, the drug addict, the drunkard, the alcoholic, the millionaires, the movie stars, the prime ministers, the presidents, and the generals. Everyone has the opportunity to choose heaven. There is no reason for even one person to perish. For God's grace is sufficient to save all. God's gift is to everyone. Every person must have their own altar. A place where he meets God face to face. Where he comes to repentance and finds the forgiveness from God. Every person is in the same condition when we're standing at the foot of the cross. Undone and incomplete without his precious gift. He made the way for us to repent. Repent and be baptized. There's water right there in that tank. You could be baptized. The heater's not plugged in. It might be a little cool. But it's room temperature water. You could be baptized and your sins would right then, today, be paid for in the name of Jesus Christ. It's not hard. It's easy. But it's a choice. And then that, and ye shall. That's not, oh, well, some people maybe might sometimes get it. No. I'm telling you, God wants every person to have this gift. To receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's his gift to us. Amen. In conclusion, stand with me, would you please? I'm closing right here. Every living person has an ultimate, eternal destination. Man's final destination is your choice. You get to choose. Let me just say this with me. I choose heaven. Would you say, that just sounded so good. Would you say it one more time with me? I choose heaven. Love him. Lord Jesus, I praise you. I worship you. Wonderful Savior, I adore you. Thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity to make a choice to live for you. Lord, that this choice is so easy. It's so glorious. It's so wonderful. Thank you for this great gift of your salvation. Wonderful Savior, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the gift. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to make the choice to live for you. Thank you, Lord, for what you prepared for us as recorded in the Bible. It's absolutely true. Lord, I want to go to heaven. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for coming. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.